Welcome to the Ecom 80/20 podcast, the show for brands looking to compete and win at selling online by building better customer relationships. I'm your host, Isaac Hyman, featured speaker and author of the Ultimate E-Commerce Email and SMS Playbook and founder of Highflyer Digital, the marketing agency for the fastest growing e-commerce brands in the world. On each episode, I reveal, unpack, and demystify the secret strategies that the top 1% use to acquire, convert, and retain customers better. My mission is to help you level the playing field and give you the tools to build more profitable revenue streams for your business. Let's get started. Hey guys, Isaac Hyman, Highflyer Digital here. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Ecom 80/20 podcast. Really excited to have our guest here, Adam Robinson from retention.com. I will get to him in a second because I know that's what you're all here to hear. You want to hear from him, the expert. But let me set the foundation too behind what we're talking about today. But before that, I always make a little plug for our new book, which we always talk about, the Ultimate E-Commerce Email SMS Playbook. It's a nice thick book you can use as a paperweight. It gives you all the tools you need to build a better customer relationship and unlock the true potential of every customer on your email and SMS list. Super important. And that's a good segue into our guest and why email. I mean, originally, you know, I knew Adam Robinson a little bit and Diana Ross. I was lucky enough to speak with her on a panel at eTail, maybe about twice, but they are just so knowledgeable about the e-commerce market. And back when I was running the e-commerce division, the email and SMS divisions for some of the top brands out there, one of our biggest challenges was unlocking all the emails that came to our site, all the people, and identifying all the traffic there. And I think they're one of the top brands that do an amazing job at identifying people, all that traffic comes to your site, identifying who they are, and actually helping you take action from it. So my guest today is Adam Robinson. He's the founder and CEO of retention.com, formerly Get Emails, which I'm going to get into why the name change, of course. It is a SaaS product that went from 0 to $14 million in annual recurring revenue and growing rapidly in only 2.5 years with 6 people and 0 funding. You probably saw their Facebook ads. Adam builds solutions that help e-com brands solve the number one problem that exists in their world today, which is scaling and monetizing their first-party database. Essentially, retention.com harnesses the power of identity. And before that, he bootstrapped Robly email marketing and market automation SaaS to an 8-figure exit. And before that, he was a credit default swap trader at Lehman Brothers and Barclays Capital. So you've been all over the world, which is really amazing. So maybe tell me in your own words, Adam, you know, say hello to our crowd, say hello to our listeners, and tell me a little bit, you know, what brought you to email and e-commerce, and why are you so passionate right now about monetizing anonymous holiday traffic these days?
It's been a long and winding road. So I lived in New York, and I graduated college in 2003 from Rice University, and my first roommates in this big apartment in Tribeca, they started Vimeo, the video sharing website.
What place?
There. And like, I watched them do that. And I was a trader, which at the time was fantastic. It was a great job to have in your 20s. It was just this cool New York life where you were working your ass off and partying and like all that stuff. And I happened to work at Lehman Brothers, which was like, I traded credit default swaps. It was the middle of this explosion, you know, this nuclear financial holocaust that occurred. The place bankrupted, but like the people doing what we were doing, there was so much volatility. With traders were making a ton of money, and like we were able, you know, I was able to sort of like save a lot of money, and then the whole market basically went away for a while because there were all sorts of these regulations that put in. So the whole time I'm looking at these guys who I lived with when I was 23 to 25 or whatever, and you know, I'm thinking like they're just getting a lot more out of their what they're doing during the day than I am. Like, you know, it's kind of, to some extent, it's a roulette wheel that you're playing, you know, making these bets. I don't know. So I kind of always had it in the back of my mind that I wanted to do this. I took a step back from finance and thought, I'm going to take this money that I saved and treat it as like an MBA or whatever, and just go spend it learning to see if I can start a company that will work. And somehow I stumbled, you know, I made all sorts of bad investments and wasted time in companies that, like, you know, didn't get off the ground that I was associated with. One of them actually worked, and it ended up being an email marketing company. We were initially, we found this mechanism to attract customers from the pioneer in the space, who I can't say their name in this podcast because of a settlement several years ago, but it's not MailChimp, which should give you a clue as to who we're talking about. And their customers were the platform itself. I'm so sorry about that, everybody. The platform itself, one would say it was not like the best software, especially compared to MailChimp. I mean, they won that market. And then the customer base was actually, you know, it was like baby boomer, non-e-commerce. You couldn't build features these people want because they're only sending newsletters to their flower shop recipients or whatever. So it was this weird thing where we only knew how to get their customers through this one weird way. When that ran out, it was over. And then we were stuck with this product that wasn't really competitive with MailChimp in any way or anybody else. So I spent years, and I mean years, banging my head against the wall trying to figure out what MailChimp was not doing to help me grow my email marketing app, because I couldn't compete with what they were doing. What, are you going to be more free than MailChimp? You're going to build more features than MailChimp? You're going to try to move faster than MailChimp? You're going to try to have a better brand than MailChimp? Like, no, 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 no. Like, you're not going to do any of that better than them. Klaviyo did an amazing job being better than MailChimp for Shopify stores. Wish I would have thought of it. Wish I was in that world. I wasn't, right? But I, years later, stumbled upon this identity space, and MailChimp couldn't get into it, because if you're an email service provider and you're that big, you kind of have to be in this self-regulatory deliverability organization called MOG, and you're not allowed to sell data if you're in that organization. So I thought I had struck gold. This is going to be the thing that helps me grow my email service provider. And we made it a feature in the email app. The email app was called Robly. People were signing up for Robly, using the identity feature, downloading the file, putting it in Klaviyo or Drip, and saying it was a 10 out of 10 on the NPS score. So generally, like, I've been reading a lot of Y Combinator's blog posts, which are fantastic to read if you're just in the game in general. I mean, it's mostly built towards software companies, but I think it universally applies to business, right? If somebody is willing to endure a horrible user experience for anything and they still think the product is incredible, you know you're onto something. That's one of their core tenets of, like, what product market fit is. And to me, product market fit is the only thing worth selling. If you don't have something that really is needed by a certain group of people, you should not invest in growing that business until you have something. So fast forward, you know, we very quickly realized it was not a good product if it was inside of Robly. If we spun it out of Robly and connected it to everything, it all of a sudden, it made it really easy to get up and going on, it would be a phenomenal product. And that's, you know, the growth that we've seen as a result of that. It's just very simple. Like, who wouldn't want the emails of people on their website that didn't fill out a form? Like, the answer is nobody, especially if you price them in a way to where it's 10 times better than the next best option for getting emails. And then the next question is, well, how do they deliver? We actually came up with a way to make sure we're only giving people emails that deliver better than their house list. And by this time, people are listening, they're like, this seems impossible. How's it legal? It's like, well, it's only US. And in the US, the spam law says emails opt out. It's not opt in. So here we are, you know, that's kind of, and we started, you know, these journeys are, I thought we were going to be selling to affiliate people when we started. When we launched this product, I actually thought that it was illegal, but people would still buy it. And then, you know, I was so familiar with the canned spam law. I'm like, there've been so few canned spam lawsuits, and the whole affiliate world's doing this anyway. Like, in some way, they're buying lists and doing things that aren't sort of kosher or whatever. If your understanding of the law is that email is opt-in, then everyone is already sending illegal email. That was kind of the view. But then I soon found out that that wasn't actually the case. And then realized that instead of the affiliate world, which for some reason this just doesn't work that well for it. I don't know why. I have theories, but this direct consumer e-commerce world of, you know, I would say it's the best. It works the best for like the Shopify Plus stores, which are the 14,000 biggest stores in the 4.5 million Shopify universe. It works very well for probably like the top quartile, but it works incredibly well for those Shopify Plus stores. And you know, you start making products for these people that really work, and you start to know them as people, and like that turns into your passion. Strangely, you know, it's like I just like want, like you hear them complain. You know, it's just you can hear the pain dealing with this, like Facebook changes and, you know, ad tech prices going up and everything else. And like, I just love the fact that I can walk into any room full of successful direct to consumer e-com vendors, and I can say, I can solve your top problem better than any other way for a way cheaper price in a way that is safe for you to do. And there's virtually no downside. You know, it's like a self-reinforcing sort of passion loop, I would say. You know, once people start getting involved and you like really, you know, anyway, that's the sort of medium length story of how we got here.
That's huge. That's such a good story. You know, I've always said that, you know, in many cases, especially considering we're in the email and SMS field, the world is historically, they've just been trained to say, you know, bring as much traffic to the site as we can. And then pay more money to Facebook and Google to get that traffic back. So it's either you buy or goodbye, and they don't focus on that middle ground, which is like, hey, how can we identify that person and learn a lot more about them?
Well, you know? I think a lot of it is people just are unaware that it's even possible. Yeah. I mean, who would think that you could just that any normal brand that isn't like the NSA or something could get an email address of an anonymous website visitor who didn't fill out a form. I mean, the first time I heard that it was possible, and from the first time I heard it was possible to when I figured out how to do it, it took 18 months. And I'm in the email world. So like, when I heard it was possible, I thought it was unbelievable. When I tell someone who's never heard that it was possible, their first reaction is, I don't believe that that's possible. How does it work? And then once they understand how it works, it's like, how is that legal?
Right.
It's just like, it so happens to be, right? So I think, you know, it's an awareness problem. I'm sure brands would, if every brand knew about this, almost all of them who would do well with it would be doing it, I think.
Slam dunk. It would definitely be on every site out there, 100%. And it's funny because, you know, I've worked within that, you know, back end with the top e-commerce brands, you know, the billion-dollar retailers, people out there who are implementing these type of things and we're facing challenges, and they've always put a high priority on identity resolution and cross-device identification, trying to identify who they are, who's coming to their site, and how can we capture as many of those emails as possible. And it seems to be everyone wants to send another cart abandoned email, of course. It's funny because a lot of people don't always solve why they're abandoning in the first place, but they'd rather send a cart abandoned email.
Yeah.
So a whole separate discussion. But overall, why is identity resolution and identifying these emails, why is it such a high priority right now for all brands and not just the big guys?
So as you said before, it's always been a high priority for the big guys. I just went through an exercise of trying to understand whether or not we should move up market and sell to larger guys. And the conclusion that I came to is, this has always been important for the big guys. There's five or six vendors whose businesses are set up in a way to where, in order to pay their salespeople, they can only sell to the big guys. So they're all competing for these $10 million deals for bringing online data offline, vice versa, using, you know, doing exactly what we do. But like the biggest brands, Disney, for instance, they don't want the individual record. They want a segment of people that were on their website that meets certain criteria, their ideal customer profile, so that they can go to the trade desk and show them display ads. That is what identity resolution is up market. So the vendors that do it are more than capable of doing what we do in going to the PII. Those big customers don't want to do it. And those salespeople are busy closing $10 million a year deals. They don't even want to do a $500,000 a year deal, let alone a $5,000 a year deal. So I think that the market, I think that the reason that awareness is so low is just the incentive structure in the market is set up to only serve the big guys. This is what I believe. And I look at the market, I see no direct competitors for us, and it's consistent with that, right? So, and the fact that awareness is so low is just because there hasn't been a vendor serving this market yet. So I think that right now is the time to do it, because right now there is actually a solution that will work for somebody that's, you know, 2 years in and they have great traction and like whatever, but they're not, you know, if they tried to contact LiveRamp for that service, they would not pick up the phone. And it doesn't even really apply to them, because, you know, identity resolution traditionally is literally just for the open internet display universe. It was the way that you were able to go beyond Google and Facebook with the data that you had and reach these people offline. So that's the long answer. The short answer is because there hasn't been a vendor yet for them that's had a usable product that like was willing to deal. So, I mean, I'm here. Let's talk.
Within your budget, within your time frame, and relatively easy to implement.
Oh, it's a light lift. That's a priority with small business. I know, because we've just been selling these people forever. It's like, The value has to be immediate. It has to be real value. And the lift has to be virtually nothing. That is the way that you get a product to work in America today with small business. It's like, this is a method that will take you 30 minutes and it will just sit there and print money and you'll never have to think about it again. So
that's huge. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's for the small guy. That's so, you know, that's so easy to kind of like palate, you know, it's very palatable.
It's what you have to, it's what you have to do. If you're doing anything but that, good luck, you know?
Right. And that's the amazing thing, because, you know, our mission is always to bring the top strategies to the small guy. And it seems like you're that perfect fit right there.
I think it's timely, you know, especially into Black Friday, you know, with all these changes that are happening with privacy and making it hard to accumulate first party audience and all that stuff.
Wow. Timing is perfect. So the last study I read cited that the average e-commerce website has about 97% anonymous traffic. Does that ring a bell?
I hear it quoted anywhere from, yeah. So average is either 97 or 98. I think the best pop-up guys in the world can get like 3.5 or 4% of the people to give them their email address. That is like you, that is your whole life, your whole job. You are at the best company, you have the best product, and you are the best at doing this. 3 to 4% capture rate.
Wow. So you're saying that you can't necessarily, would you say you can recover 97%, or you find that
incredible? No. So here's what we can do. With US traffic, almost everybody is cookied by one of these networks that we're a part of. Either cookied or there's a browser sort of identity attached to one of these identifiers. Around 80% we can identify to a hash, but you can't mail a hash, but you can use a hash in Facebook, which is interesting because those audiences are getting less persistent as well. So we haven't been pushing that product, but it's something that more and more people are asking about. So we can get 80% to some identifier. We are incredibly judicious in what we deem a deliverable email, because what would make me go to zero is if I started giving emails to people that started getting them in trouble at their ESP, Sendlane, Klaviyo, you know, Drip, whatever it is, MailChimp. So we will only get, so we could get a plain text for 80% of people. If we gave it to people, they would last 1 month because they would, you know, half of these emails would be bad and they would whatever. So the way that we make sure that people are safe is we're only giving people contacts who've opened and clicked somewhere else in the last 7 days. And that last step is the real magic. It's what makes these things highly deliverable. So that being said, 40%, 45% in most cases, it's a full 10 to 20x above any other method of capturing email.
Oh, hands down. And that's, it's also incremental based on what your site would capture already and what's on your
Oh, absolutely. Already, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. You actually put a suppression script on your site so that we don't give you anyone that you would have caught anyway.
That's huge. And then the holiday traffic is creeping up this holiday season right now, right? So you're going to expect to see, I don't know, 20-30% increase in traffic just from the holidays alone, maybe on average. But at the same time, some brands are kind of skittish over, you know, they have the code freeze, if they're big or not, but like they have the code freeze or they don't want to touch their website or afraid to try something new. So what are kind of some holiday strategies that you would recommend that they start implementing even now in October in preparation for that Black Friday, December lift that they can, again, take over to their CEO, their CTO, or even if they're small, take over their wife or partner and say, hey, you know, we should do this right now.
So I'm going to tell you one thing that has very little to do with us and two things that are what we do. Number one of the biggest mistakes that I see is people have cart abandonment set up, but like 90% of people don't have browse abandonment set up. So just when someone is browsing around a product, when they leave in Klaviyo or Sendlane, you can have an event fire from Shopify over to Klaviyo or Sendlane, and it will send them a timely and personalized email of what they were looking at and get them back to the site. And it works. So cart abandonment, Klaviyo makes you set it up when you create an account. It's the most lucrative email that's ever been. The browse abandonment statistics are staggering. 10% of all browse abandonment emails that get sent out end in a conversion. It's crazy. So much better than anywhere else. So that is one that is a very easy set it and forget it. You're leaving money on the table if you don't do it. The goal is to send as many triggered behavioral emails as possible and then pare back on your sort of broad newsletter sends, right? That's the gospel that I'm evangelizing because I see it work.
Funny. Yeah.
So something that dovetails with that is our product helps you through identity just expand the pool of people that all of these behavioral emails go to. Something that almost no one knows is that in order to receive a cart abandonment email, the visitor to your Shopify site actually has to be logged into Shopify, which is a mind-bogglingly low amount. Think about how many times you buy stuff on your desktop. I only buy stuff on my laptop. I'm browsing on my phone all the time, but I don't buy stuff there. Mm-hmm. So think about that. You're browsing on your phone in the subway or whatever. You literally say, I'm going to buy this when I get home. How many times do you forget that, right? Often, we enable a message to go out to you, to that person because we have them connected to a single profile.
Multi-device. Now, four or five devices. Exactly.
An even larger audience is this co-reg we're running. So that's the cookie network, and we have people opting into it because our brand partners are so great. You know, they're getting offers from Warby and Tonal and, you know, BlendJet and all that stuff. The offers they're getting are these browse abandonment and cart abandonment emails. That is so if cross device is like a 1x expansion, the co-reg is like a 4x expansion. So between the two of them, it will just, the audience of these people receiving these emails is just way bigger. So those are the first two things. And then the last is the tech that we talked about in the beginning. If you don't do this any other time of the year, just do yourself a favor and capture emails of your anonymous website traffic going in to Black Friday. Why would you not do that, right? Turn it off the day after Black Friday, turn it off in January, whatever you want to do. Get an owned audience going into Black Friday that you can capture when people are ready to sell. So those are the three things that I would say.
That building that audience is so important, especially those who are in that mode of buying right now. That window for when they're going to buy or convert or even just build a relationship with you is happening right this minute. It's interesting because one of the automations that really worked for us beyond also cart and browse was also search abandon. And we found a lot of value from people who are typing in just a search and auto-filled that search data. And then you say like, hey, we know you were searching for that. Maybe you didn't browse yet, but search data that comes in, that's an automation right there.
Oh man, any automation that is timely and personalized to that extent, any of it, is the best email you could ever send, in my opinion.
Goldmine.
Yeah. Goldmine. And yeah, it's just the ability to implement is only limited to what you can capture and pass on to whatever email app that, you know, the reason that I use the examples that I do is because Klaviyo and Shopify combo just makes it so easy to do. Makes it so easy to do cart, browse, product, category. And then the catalog ones are really good too, but they're not as timely. The low stock, back in stock. They're great because they're so personalized, but it's not behavioral. You know what I mean? The behavioral ones are crazy because like you'll just catch someone when they're in their inbox and you know,
and then the ones later that are opted in for like a wish list or things like that. They're so small. Like just to see the behavior is so important, which actually brings me to the next point. You know, our podcast, as you know, is focused on the Pareto principle, 80% of your revenue from 20% of your customers, right? The more triggered emails, the better you'll do majority of your revenue. And that's brought to life through email and better customer relationships through email, SMS, and CRM, for example. But part of that entails not just having the most data, but actually having clean data on every customer. So how does retention.com enrich the actionable data for brands and marketers overall, especially for the holiday season?
So we can do a few things. So one thing that's particularly relevant for Black Friday, Cyber Monday is I think there's a temptation to send to literally everyone. Like every...
Yeah.
So that oftentimes leads to a suboptimal result. Things can happen that take a long time to undo. They're not permanent problems, but you really, really can put yourself in a position to where you create a lot of work for yourself if you leave too many emails that are actually dead on your list. We have this incredible product called Reactivate. I mentioned we were buying a bunch of signals from the email ecosystem. So you can take your dead portion of your list and you can do a batch file and we'll tell you when the last open event we saw was from that email. We'll tell you if there's a spam trap. We'll tell you. So like I would recommend, you know, this is a great way to use enrichment. It's like I have this list of dead emails. I want to know the emails that are dead to everybody, not just me, right? If they're alive to other people, send. Maybe don't send as frequently, but send. If they're dead to everybody, there's literally only downside to contacting those people. So that is for our ideal customer profile, a layup type of enrichment. The larger that the email program is, the more important segmenting enrichment, I think, becomes. So you can do a classic CRM demographic, you know, age, gender, income, entire CRM run. And then you can use that information to segment messaging and, you know, create things that are more personalized experiences. So those are the two ways that that we can help with enrichment.
That's amazing. And can you also append in, you know, CRM data such as loyalty, rewards, financing elements too, all into the one customer profile?
If the brand has, I mean, we're not providing loyalty information, but if the brand has that on this person, then absolutely. And
will be appended. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, amazing.
Totally.
So the implementation for retention.com seems relatively easy to implement. You said about 30 minutes, right?
Very lightweight. It's just a few pixels and you sort of change your flows in Klaviyo and you're done.
Yeah. Oh, great. So the hard part, like you just said, seems to be setting up like kind of the workflows to convert those leads, which is what we do really well. But so after the brands implement your scripts, how would you advise brands to run a successful test of retention.com to measure the incrementality or just see the lift in general? What would be a great test in your mind?
So let's talk about the cart flow and how we coach people to implement it. Klaviyo suggests that you send a 3-email cart flow. By the way, they just put out a phenomenal piece on all of the data. I don't know if you saw it.
I did. I was glancing at it.
Unbelievable. So much great information. If you send 3 emails, you make 8 times as much money as when you send 1. It's fantastic. But then it starts going down. If you send 4, you make less money than if you sent 3. They all convert less. Very strange. So the way to see that this is working is we literally create a fork in the abandoned cart flow. And we own one side of the fork, and the other side of the fork is what used to be there. So it's the easiest thing. You just turn it on. This side's us. This is what you were doing before. It's very, very easy to see the incrementality and result. Same deal with the welcome, you know, the sort of top of the funnel website notifications. You copy your welcome series, make a new one for us, and then you just see it working. And then 90 days later, you can basically download a file of the customer lifetime values of all the emails that we gave you and look at what you paid us and see the ROI.
Oh man, that's great. Yeah. I mean, that's probably a major win. You could see the results right there, especially what they pay.
Totally. We have a revenue dashboard in our software, but if you don't trust it, you can go verify it with Klaviyo.
Amazing. Do you recommend any different workflows for Welcome? I know Welcome, some people are given a discount and they have this whole story and brand, or is it because they're anonymous or you're identified and they may not have opted in at that level that they may have, you know, typically for a pop-up? Would there be a different Welcome flow?
The only recommendation that I make is changing the subject line to "thanks for stopping by the site." Keep everything else the same. And you can just because you can AB, you know, that's simple. And the simple act of retargeting these people over time is what works. Like, most of the money is not made in the welcome series. 80% is made from adding these people to your newsletter and just them seeing your brand over and over again. Basic marketing principle. You can get as complex as you want running monthly A/B tests and picking the winning version and adding another and seeing, you know, what performs better with this audience versus your existing audience. But you don't need to, you know, a lot of the people that we deal with aren't in a position to staff enough to like pull something off like that. It's like, right. What's the 80-20, right? The 80-20 is just getting it done. the 80 is getting it done. The 20 is sitting there, you know, in the minutiae trying to optimize subject line copy and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah. You pick up the phone and call. That's exactly it. Huge. And I think I've been blessed to share the speaker's podium with you guys, as I mentioned before, especially with Diana. She was great.
Diana's amazing.
Amazing stuff. And you know, I've definitely witnessed the power of harnessing these emails and getting them into your system and kind of nurturing them through time. But what in your mind is a clear cut case study of a customer of yours that just it changed their business using their software, or they just it wowed them and made them say, you know what, there's massive power and email's not dead, or all these kind of buzzwords you hear out there that give that reputation a challenging name.
Yeah. So my favorite story about a transformational outcome for a business is this shoe brand called Kariuma. And they're really smart. They're really good. They've done incredibly well. They onboarded our software immediately after they raised $13 million in like a seed round. They got like a lot of initial traction. They have these cool shoes. And then they've pressed it about as hard as they can press it for the last 2.5 years. We've given them 2.5 million emails. 1.8 million of them are still active. And they're buying so much that their average price per contact is super low. Like, they were buying leads on Facebook for 75 cents. Our leads they're getting for like 12 or something. So, and they're better than the quality of Facebook. They actually ran the A/B test, they convert better. So if you think about the difference in email is math. If you're pressing send on 1.8 million, you're going to convert 5 times better than if you're pressing send on whatever the number is 400, about 375,000. So when you talk, you know, Philippe, their chief digital officer, when you talk to him, he, you know, email's their biggest channel. We have supplied 90% of the emails to these guys. It is absolutely phenomenal. Like, they're like a 60x ROI on the whole program over the last, you know, 2.5 years. And they will say that it has been transformational to their business, like the ability to capture email. And the guy said something very different than any of our other customers. We sell, like I mentioned before, I sell a 60-day ROI to people. I'm like, if you're not 3X in 60 days, don't use it. It'll go up a lot of the time. Luckily, we can hit that for most people. He's like, I don't care what the ROI is after 60 days. I think this is going to get a lot harder. I'm trying to amass as much first-party data as humanly possible, and this is the best way to do it that I see in the marketplace. And it still is. So that view has led them to an email list that is five times bigger at that scale is more than five times better. You can do all sorts of stuff with a 1.8 million email list that you can't do with a 200,000 email list, 300,000. You are making profit off that email list that is compounding back into your business. So it's over time, over years, when every send is a little bit better, that growth trajectory is exponential. So, I mean, that's maybe that wouldn't be everybody because they also had a lot of other good things going on in their business. They had their traffic increased. They had the ability to capture 2.2 million emails from us or two, whatever it was. But that's an example of someone who had the foresight to think, wow, highly deliverable, high converting, high intent, low cost, massive first party data acquisition opportunity. I'm all in. It's legal. I'm all in.
It's legal. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're amazing. You said a lot. Let's unpack that. It seems like it's number one, you're getting emails that will eventually if not immediately, they'll turn into high, you know, profit, you know, high lifetime value type of customers. You'll save money on your acquisition cost, your cost per lead, you know, in many cases, depending on your scale. And just it's just a great way to acquire first party data in an age where, right, cookies are starting to go away, Google Chrome, and now's the time to grab it. You know, seems like you said there's three wins right there.
In my opinion, you know, so many people tell me I don't understand why everybody doesn't do this. And when I hear you say that, that's just my first reaction. It's like, I just don't understand, other than people not knowing that it's possible. I don't understand why every e-com brand isn't doing this.
I don't know. It's a good question.
You know, well, I think it's awareness, you know,
awareness.
And then, you know, some people are just, and I think we're finally getting enough brands that people have heard about to where the social proof is there, because mm-hmm. there is a red flag. It's like, man, that can't be, it just can't be true, you know, but like enough people are doing it and having a lot of success with it that like, it is true. You know,
well, I wonder if it was maybe because the name change was it get emails. Everyone got that connotation of, oh, emails. Who needs email? Maybe then you change the retention. Is that kind of the genesis of it?
I mean, the name change is fantastic. There's just so great, many great things that have come out of it.
Yeah. Great domain.
Oh, it's the best for what we're doing. It's the best domain. Perfect. There's not a better domain than retention.com for what we're doing. But yeah, it's certainly part of, you know, in order to gain mass market adoption in this audience, we needed a cleaner brand presence than Get Emails.
Yeah.
And an outward facing brand story that told a larger story than just acquiring emails. So that had been the plan the whole time. And I didn't know that it was going to end at retention.com, but like when I was presented the opportunity to acquire that domain, despite it being $800,000, I was all over it.
Good win. Hey, that's a great steal.
It's an investment, you know.
Yeah,
it's an investment.
We'll see more Facebook ads along the retention.com style now.
I'm doing LinkedIn now because I think more of the audience that has success with our product is on LinkedIn rather than Facebook. I love doing those Facebook ads. It was a lot of fun, but it attracted like a smaller entrepreneur and the return on ad spend was fantastic. But like I said before, if they don't have web traffic to resolve and they don't have a profitable email program, it's churn, which like we're selling it, we're a subscription business. It's like churn is just like your worst enemy.
Yeah.
So yeah, the idea is LinkedIn would, you know, allow for some of a similar, you know, I have an ability to crank out video in very short periods of time. So I'm seeing, I don't have it nailed yet, but, you know, we don't exist in social media yet. So the idea is to create this. Retention.com is a huge brand. This is a somewhat untrustworthy space. I think we have the opportunity to be the only brand, basically. And the best way to create trust and connection between a human and a brand is person to person rather than rather than with a word, right?
Yes.
That's
exactly.
I'm trying. I was, before we talked, I was editing these little short form videos right now. We'll see what happens. Check in a year to see if it was worth it or not.
Excited to see that come out. So it's now mid-October. We're a few weeks away from the biggest shopping season of the year. So what are the next steps for any of our listeners to get up and running before the holiday season? What does that look like and where do they go?
So yeah, I would say if your store makes above 5 million annual revenue and you don't do this, I was just on a panel with Ryan Pamplin from BlendJet, which is, he is like one of the best e-com guys. He sat there and said, one of the people in the audience was like, are all of you retention.com customers? And he's like, everybody that I've ever recommended this to, it's worked for. No one has ever said I wasted my money. It didn't work. And he said, if you don't use retention.com, you are costing yourself money. It is money falling from the sky. Yeah. So the perfect avatar is between 5 and 50 million a year of revenue. If you don't book a demo and at least learn about it with as quick and easy as it is to onboard, you are, the only thing you're doing is costing yourself money. I would say don't waste your time if you're below 1 million revenue, because there's other things to tweak in your business to make this really work. 1 to 5 million, definitely go to the website, check us out, book a demo, you know, try it out. The success rate's like 50-50, 1 to 5 million. It's like 90% 5 to 50. So
wow,
it's so easy to get. I mean, between our sales process and onboarding, it's, you're fully educated. There's only a few things you actually need to do to implement it. You just set it up and it prints money. I mean, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Just go do it. We'll give you some wildly promotional pricing if you say you came from the 80-20 podcast.
We won't say anything about the Black Friday discounts if there are yet, too early. But go there, check it out. Trust me, it is worth it. Our clients are using it as much as they can, and it just works. That's the beauty of it. And like you said, 80% of the 80% of the challenge is just doing it, you know, getting on the
totally. And this one's a great example of that.
Yeah.
Just get it running.
Get it running.
Right.
There's no downside, really.
Totally.
So, well, this has been great, Adam. Really thank you for joining us on this Ecom 80-20 podcast. It's been great. Really excited to see how brands can now monetize that anonymous holiday 2022 traffic. The timing is perfect, right? You still have time before the holiday season really hits and ramps up. So if you're listening to this, excited to see, you know, talk to Adam of retention.com, go to his website, check it out. For all you listening, thank you for joining me on another episode of Ecom 80-20 podcast. I hope you learned a lot. We're excited to see you win for the holiday season. We're on a mission to help brands like yours compete to win in a crowded marketplace using the strategies of the top 1% and people like Adam and people like myself. So looking forward to seeing you win this holiday season. I will see you next time. Talk soon.
Thank you very much, Isaac.
Thanks for listening to the Ecom 80-20 podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please make sure to subscribe and follow us on social at High Flyer Digital for daily tips and videos. To put this week's strategy into action and move your brand forward, go to highflyerdigital.com/book and schedule a free 15-minute chat with our experts. If you book today, you'll even get a free digital copy of our 330-page email and SMS playbook to get you started. Let's partner together to compete and win at e-commerce. Your brand is worth it. Until next week, this is Isaac Hyman wishing you a successful and profitable week. We'll be right back.